The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the dawning of a new era. Pittsburgh makes Mitch rich. Will he be the real deal in the Steel City? We'll answer that question. Meanwhile, two NFC contenders playing dangerous games are the Packers and the Cowboys falling too far behind Tampa Tom. And then a new low for the Lakers. Has LeBron's team just flat given up? Wait until you see what happened to them last night. You will as we get up with you, starting right now. Jam-packed on the day before free agency actually begins in the NFL, and we're all over it with Graziano breaking stories and Tannenbaum explaining it all. And my players are here today. Ryan Clark gets up early with us this morning. He is ready to go. Jeff Saturday will be with us, and Adam Schefter is already on the phone. Which, candidly, by already, I mean the last 7 years. But I got to begin with this. Did you see what Karl Anthony Towns did last night? Timberwolves, Spurs, you're not going to believe it. Karl Anthony Towns had 24 in the first half, but he was just getting started. Third quarter, always Mr. Inside. He drills that one. Then outside, he goes. You know this kid played guard when he was in high school? He developed those skills, and he can stroke it from outside. He's at 47 points. We're still in the third quarter. 2 minutes later, he's at 51. Check that. He's at 54. We're still in the third quarter. 20 seconds left in the period. Towns drives, spins. He had 32 points in the third quarter alone. Gave him 56 for the night. Fourth quarter, under two to play. Timberwolves up 9. Cats got 57. Does he have three more? Yes, he does. Karl Anthony Towns goes for 60 points for the Timberwolves last night. For good measure, he had 17 rebounds. They win it by 10. And afterwards, the celebration was real for the big man with the enormous night, the biggest in the NBA this year.
I know it's coming. I see Ann behind me. I'm going to just back up real quick.
What a night for Karl Anthony Towns. He breaks his own Timberwolves scoring record. He becomes the fifth player in the last 50 years with 60 points and 15 rebounds in a game. Take a look at the company that he keeps: Harden and Shaq and Jordan and Karl Malone. Much more basketball as our show continues. Meanwhile, to the NFL, where free agency began yesterday, to a frenzy of moves. Legal tampering is now a reality, and the Cowboys have lost another wide receiver. After trading Amari Cooper, they lose Cedric Wilson, who's got a 3-year deal with the Dolphins, valued at just under $30 million. You see the guarantee, almost $13 million for Cedric Wilson. So he is going to the Dolphins. The big defensive addition of the day went to the Los Angeles Chargers, who signed the former Patriot corner J.C. Jackson. The Pro Bowler gets 5 years, $82.5 million. $40 million of that is guaranteed. Another huge name in the news yesterday. After failing to work out a deal, the Browns released receiver Jarvis Landry. Five-time Pro Bowler, missed 5 weeks last year with a knee sprain, wound up with career lows in catches and yards and touchdowns, but he could be a difference maker for someone. He is a free agent as we speak. And then one of the big quarterback additions, maybe the biggest name we had left on the market, the Steelers signed Mitchell Trubisky. You know by now, he started his career in Chicago. He was the second pick in the draft. Went to Buffalo, served as Josh Allen's backup last season, and now he is the quarterback in Pittsburgh. We would assume the starting job will be his, but let's not assume. Let's find out. Adam Schefter is with us here in the busiest week of his year. Schefty, how did this work out? Trubisky was a hot name in all of this, despite his limited success. How did it wind up winds up in Pittsburgh?
He was in play in a couple of different places, most notably Washington, until Washington decided last week to make the trade for Carson Wentz. And once Carson Wentz winds up in Washington, Mitchell Trubisky has to find a new home. Now, keep in mind that when the Pittsburgh Steelers season ended, Mike Tomlin said himself at that point in time that he wanted a quarterback that could run around and make plays with his legs. Well, what does Mitchell Trubisky do? He can make plays with his arms and his legs, goes and gets a two-year deal. There's built-in incentives that the more he plays, the better he plays, the more he'll make. And Pittsburgh shores up the quarterback position. I think Mitchell Trubisky becomes the presumptive starter in Pittsburgh, because if you're a free agent quarterback and you're reaching agreement on the first day on a deal like this, that tells you that you believe that you're going to have a realistic chance to win that starting job and be that team's quarterback. And that's been a great franchise for a long period of time. And so Mitchell Trubisky picked the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, had other opportunities, had other interests, but the quarterback carousel was moving around, and an opportunity that would have been in Washington, could have been in Washington, closed up. Other teams are in the Deshaun Watson mix. Pittsburgh was the one that was ready to make a move, and Trubisky was ready to go to Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah, the Steelers have been a team we've been talking about here because it did feel like they were kind of a quarterback away. Were there other places they were looking? We had people putting Jimmy Garoppolo there, just speculating that that would make sense, and maybe even Russell Wilson before that deal got done. Were they in it on other players that we know of?
They checked in on Jimmy Garoppolo. They explored a trade there. I'm sure they looked into other quarterbacks as well. You don't just look at a couple of different solutions. I'm sure they went through the entire quarterback market. I know one of the options was Garoppolo, and I know the option they settled on ultimately was Mitchell Trubisky. They felt like that was the move they wanted to make. And again, I think that marries up to what Mike Tomlin was saying at the end of the season, more so than Jimmy Garoppolo. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers went ahead and moved on with Mitchell Trubisky, who gets a new lease in Pittsburgh now.
All right, Shefty, answer that call and stay close by. We're going to get a lot more from you as we go. But let me get the rest of the group in here, because Shefty, he'll probably have another story for us in the next 3 minutes. Here's the collection we have today. Jeff Saturday's satellite is working now. We're delighted to have him back from Iceland. But RC, I got to start with you as my beloved former Steeler. You got your quarterback. It's Mitch Trubisky. What do you think?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Saturday was in Iceland. I will not be that happy about the Mitchell Trubisky signing. But you also have to look at where the Pittsburgh Steelers were. You know, I talked about Mason Rudolph after Kevin Colbert said that Mason Rudolph was a guy that they'd look into being their starter heading into 2022. And I didn't think that he had the skill. I didn't think that he was playing at the level or has played at the level that the Pittsburgh Steelers needed. Every time we listen to Mike Tomlin speak about Ben Roethlisberger last year, he talked about a lack of mobility. When you look at a guy like Mitchell Trubisky with that type of pedigree, a pedigree that gets you drafted number two overall, pedigree that gets you drafted before Deshaun Watson, before Patrick Mahomes, you understand that the skill level is there. And this was the guy that went to the playoffs two-time with the Chicago Bears. Do I think he's a world beater? Do I think he solves all the Pittsburgh Steelers problems offensively? I absolutely don't. But I do think he's an upgrade not only over Mason Rudolph, but Ben Roethlisberger as well at the point in his career he was before he retired. This is a very smart move for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you can get him to play at the top of his potential, you get a quarterback that's above being a good quarterback, and you also get to play football the way you want to, which is run the ball, have a quarterback with some mobility that can extend plays and put pressure on people defensively. This is a move that I feel that Kevin Colbert, on his way out, made a great decision in signing Mitchell Trubisky.
I do too, and he got him on a good deal. Before I come to Jeff, Mike T, let me come to you as my general manager. You and I had this conversation 2 weeks ago. You said to me, and I agreed completely, that there was going to come a morning where we were going to say, wow, look how much money Mitchell Trubisky just got. I thought that was going to happen too. He didn't get that much money. I feel like the Steelers got him on a pretty good deal.
Absolutely agree. And to be a starting quarterback, to get him what it's been reported for, they got an outstanding bargain. And to RC's point, Greeny, they've just begun. They should be scouring maybe for Kenny Pickett in the draft. So to get a starting quarterback for about $13 million is great work by the Steelers. They've improved the position from a year ago, and they're not done. And he's a young quarterback. He just needs to clean up the red zone. He had 8 red zone interceptions as a starter with the Bears. If he could clean that up, they're in pretty good shape.
When you say continue to scour, you mean they should be considering still drafting a quarterback?
Absolutely agree. They have the 20th pick in the first round, so this could be the world's shortest scouting trip, where maybe they walk across the facility and take Kenny Pickett from Pitt, or maybe it's Malik Willis from Liberty. But if they could come out of this with Mitch Trubisky, who still has a lot of good football in front of him, and a first-round pick, they're dramatically improved over an aging Ben Roethlisberger from 2021.
But Graziano, this also speaks to the what people think of this quarterback class, right? If Mitchell Trubisky was in this year's draft, he'd be the first quarterback taken, we would assume, right?
I think he probably would. So if you're the Steelers, what you're doing is making sure you exhaust all options. You bring in Trubisky, who's played in the league, and you feel like he can. And if you draft a guy that needs a year to get ready, or you know, then you have that flexibility with the other guys you have on your roster. I do believe quarterback's still in play for them in the early rounds.
All right, and so Jeff Saturday, then let me come to you on the question that really matters here. You got the Ravens, who should be healthy again. You got the Bengals, who were in the Super Bowl last year. We'll see what happens with the Browns. How good are the Pittsburgh Steelers in that division now with Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback?
I think they contend. And listen, this has little to do with Trubisky, but more really to do with Mike Tomlin. I think this fit matters for Mike Tomlin. You've seen, even with Roethlisberger not playing well last season, they find a way to make it to the playoffs. This guy always finds ways to win. He'll bring Trubisky in. He and Matt Canada have work to do on the offensive side. Listen, this offensive line is not good. They were 31st in pass pro. So he's going to have to use his legs to buy time to get outside the pocket with the zone read. It will help with Najee Harris. So there's a lot of pluses in this thing. And for what everybody says about quarterbacks, I understand it. But this is not a quarterback-centric franchise. It doesn't have to be. At this point, this can be a stopgap, look to the future from the draft, but they can still win because of Mike T. I mean, a couple years ago when Roethlisberger was hurt, they basically won with me playing quarterback, right? I mean, like, he find ways to win. He will help Trubisky in his career. I think it's good for the franchise. I think this is a nice move by the Steelers in the short term and potentially the long term if they find a starter, whether it be Trubisky or in the draft.
All right, I like that. RC, I have a few more questions for you on this that I will get to a little later, but I want to get to the next quarterback situation because it requires a lot of diving into because it involves that man there, Deshaun Watson. So here's what we have. The Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints are two teams meeting with Deshaun Watson this week. Now, Watson, if you've not been following, was cleared of criminal charges on Friday. So the Houston Texans and Watson now are trying to figure out what comes next for the 3-time Pro Bowl quarterback who has obviously still a litany of issues to deal with before he can get back on the field. So, Shefty, let's dive into that. What do we know about Watson and his immediate future?
Green, let me say this. This process is moving along, and this process is moving along swiftly. And I would think that we'll have a deal in place potentially by the end of the week. I think these teams are talking to the Houston Texans. The Texans are comfortable with the compensation that these teams are offering, which they already are offering compensation. I think the teams are speaking with Watson. The Panthers and Saints met with him during the day yesterday and came out of those meetings impressed. And I think this process is moving to reach its conclusion with Houston moving on from Deshaun Watson, with Watson finding a new home. These interviews were designed for both sides to be fact-finding missions where teams could listen to Watson and hear his explanation of the events over the last year in which he's facing 22 civil lawsuits, and in which Watson could get explanations from teams about the culture that he would step into, the environment that he would be in, the offense, how it would function with him. There's a lot on the line for him to figure out his NFL future here. And remember, he's got a no-trade clause. So a trade is not happening without Deshaun Watson's blessing. The Texans could reach an agreement with the Panthers, and Watson could say, I don't want to go there. I want to go to New Orleans. So Watson, for everything that he's been through, is still really controlling this process, but the teams have made the Texans feel comfortable enough with the compensation that with whichever place Watson chooses to go, it will not be an issue. And I believe a deal will get done, and I think there's a good chance a deal gets done within the week.
Okay, so that obviously creates a lot of urgency, and it is worth reminding the audience, Shefty, that's not been paying attention, that despite the fact that he will not face criminal charges, that does not mean the National Football League will not rule in some way that could include a suspension, yes?
Well, listen, all we have to do is go back and look at Ben Roethlisberger, who didn't face charges and was suspended for six games. Ezekiel Elliott, who didn't face charges, was suspended for six games. And I think there are people around the league who believe that the same will happen with Deshaun Watson, that eventually he will face NFL discipline. He will face suspension. That is the thought process around some of the teams that are considering dealing with him, that they could trade for him and he could wind up being suspended for a part of the 2022 season or a different season if the NFL decides to wait for the conclusion of the civil cases to happen first. So there's a lot of different ways this could go. But this is one of the more complicated cases that the NFL has seen in recent years. And you throw in the fact that he's got the no trade clause, that he's been through everything he has, that there's still all these civil suits ahead of him. And it's obviously a case unlike any other we've seen in NFL history.
All right, that's well put. So, Shefty, stay close. Again, we'll have more from you as we go. Let me bring it to the group here. And again, I preface all of these conversations by saying, as Shefty just, I think, really well lined up, it's hard to talk about this because there are all the different pieces of it, including some that are much more important and serious than football. But so that's why I want you to take me inside these negotiations, Mike T. First off, you're the general manager in Houston. You just heard Shefty say that they are comfortable with compensation. If you're Nick Cazaria, who's making that, what do you need? What do you getting back for Deshaun Watson?
I'd be three first-round picks, because if Matt Stafford went for two and there was other things involved with the trade, this is a great young player with all the accusations aside. He's a franchise quarterback, and I can't trade him for less than three first-round picks, Greeny.
But now you're the acquiring general manager. You're in New Orleans or Carolina or anyone else who might be behind the scenes having these conversations. What assurances or what other conditions do you need to put on this based on what Shefty just told us, that we have no idea what league discipline might still be coming?
Well, in a perfect world as the acquiring GM, I'm putting conditions in the trade. Like when I was the GM of the Jets, we had conditions with Brett Favre based on how much he played that determined the compensation with Green Bay. I think the marketing conditions, which Adam alluded to, they're not going to be able to do that. So what would make me nervous if I'm Mickey Loomis of the Saints or Scott Fitter of the Panthers is I'm giving up multiple first-round picks, and Roger Goodell may suspend Deshaun Watson for six games.
Right.
You also need organizational alignment, Greeny, meaning that ownership, head coach, your players, player leadership, other people in the building, that everyone's comfortable with it. So yeah, there's a lot to do between now and getting this done. I will say this, Greeny. I've never been in a situation as a GM when I brought a player in under contract from another team that a trade didn't get done. So to Adam's point, I think they're far down the road, but a lot of boxes have to be checked.
Right. Shefty just said he expects something to happen perhaps as soon as this week. So, RC, let's deal with the football piece of this. The rest of it will be handled by other people, by the league and by the legal system. Put Deshaun Watson on one of these two teams, on New Orleans or Carolina. What would that mean in your opinion, RC?
Well, obviously, it elevates both of these teams. You think about a guy like Sam Darnold, or even last year with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill in New Orleans. I think Deshaun Watson is a upgrade over those guys, and it's not even close. To me, he's one of the top five quarterbacks in this league. And now you think about him being on the Carolina Panthers with a guy like DJ Moore. You have to figure out what they do with Christian McCaffrey. And now you have Ben McAdoo as the offensive coordinator. I believe that this is a team who played defense extremely well early on in last season that has an opportunity to win the NFC South, which is going to be a little weak. Now, obviously, Tom Brady comes back, and so I think that puts Tampa Bay in the driver's seat. But when you look at the New Orleans Saints, you look at the Atlanta Falcons, those aren't teams who are world beaters. And so this puts this team in the wild card conversation. Also, you go to New Orleans. Now, if you're Sean Payton, you're thinking to yourself, well, hell, maybe I should have stayed. Maybe I have a chance if I have a guy like this. But there's so much that needs to be worked out from a skilled player's standpoint when you look at the New Orleans Saints. But that is a championship level defense. Obviously, you have guys like Marcus Williams and some other people who are up in free agency, but you have to figure those things out. But Deshaun Watson is, in the words of Mike Tannenbaum, a force multiplier, and both of these teams become wild card teams, become teams that can compete to be in the playoffs and actually win games because who will be at the quarterback position.
I'll take it a step further, Jeff Saturday. I had someone say to me yesterday, you put Deshaun Watson on the Saints depending on what they have to give up. That's a Super Bowl caliber team. You buying it?
I am. Listen, when you think about even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South, they play defense against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers extremely well. They can keep you in games. And again, now you put Deshaun Watson, and I agree 100% with RC, he's a top five guy. When he walks in this locker room, he walks in this offense, everybody around him, their talent is elevated. He makes everybody around him better. And whether that's with his legs, with his arms, the position that, or the position that he plays, the most important position in sport right now, being that quarterback position, man, this guy is electric. I think people forget because he hasn't played, because of all the off-the-field stuff. When he hits that field, and again, he goes to New Orleans Saints, no matter where he goes, it makes that team, it puts them on the list of contender in their division. Everybody gets put on notice because of the talent of that one player. Player alone. So I think when you're talking about if he goes to New Orleans or Carolina or potentially Cleveland now is in the hunt. And let me just put it this way. Think about this. The Indianapolis Colts, who are in their division, which we know nobody wants to trade in their division, made a play for Deshaun Watson. Like, that's how good this guy is, right? Everybody at least wants an opportunity to have the conversation because they know ultimately he has the deciding factor with that no-trade clause. So when you're talking about everybody wants an opportunity with Deshaun Watson because of his on-the-field talent.
Jump in, Danny.
Yeah, he mentioned Cleveland. Jeff did. Cleveland's involved in this, and my understanding is they do have a meeting scheduled today with Deshaun Watson. They face an uphill challenge because they're in the AFC, and Houston would rather send him to the NFC. And, of course, we don't know for sure whether Watson would want to play there when it does seem like he has interest in New Orleans and Carolina to some extent. On New Orleans, you talk about contending. My understanding is if they're able to land Watson, their offseason plan would change, and you might see some Rams-style veteran acquisition. That might put them in play for Jarvis Landry. Tyrann Mathieu, guys like that. So the Saints' plan could depend on whether they get him.
Greeny, there's one other really important dynamic. A year ago, Houston could say, hey, we're going to pay him $10 million and not trade him. Houston has to trade him this year. They're not going to pay him $35 million not to play.
Well, you heard Shefty say, expect something perhaps as soon as this week. We will see. And we're just getting started as we continue. The Cowboys doing a risky dance right now with their free agents. What are they putting in jeopardy? You will find out as we continue. And then it's gone from bad to worse to worser still, which isn't English, for LeBron. Another game, another loss. Should they just pack it in? We'll answer that question. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Here on Get Up, it is time for Get Your Eyes Checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And to Matthew Wolf, I would simply say we've all been there. That is Wolf's approach on 18. And as he is about to miss the cut at the Players' Championship, he says, well, I'm not going to need this anymore. So he just chucks it in the drink. Matthew, we've all been there. He shot 81 in the second round. Tough week it was at the Players. The Cowboys are playing with fire right now, letting some of their big name players walk away. Will this delicate dance backfire? We'll answer that question as we get up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. And I'll tell you what I need right now. Before we go any further, Jeff Saturday was in Iceland, and he and his family and friends did this TikTok. Ryan Clark, what are your thoughts on my man RC getting down?
Well, the big thing is this. Jeff Saturday always had style, always had pizzazz, always had a little it factor to him. And now we see the swag in Iceland. We always knew that Jeff Saturday wasn't your normal center, bro. As soon as he retired, he got slim. We've seen the curls, those beautiful blue eyes. And now you know my dog is next on Dancing with the Stars.
To be clear, here's the one all the way on the left of your screen in the red cap. Jeff, that looked like fun.
You could tell.
It was a ton of fun. RC, I appreciate you. That's my dog right there.
You know it.
Hyping me up. Hey, here's the truth of it. No one knows. There's about 60-mile-an-hour winds. I literally had to hold my wife, my buddy Matt, and his wife Jill. We're holding our wives so they don't get blown into the river that's just behind us. That wind is whipping. Thank God for a little bit of mountain cover. My man might have not made it back. I'm just being real with you.
All right, he is back and better than ever from Iceland, and that was a lot of fun. Meanwhile, let's go around the NFL here. Free agency is upon us, and we got sneaky big moves. Ryan Clark, give me a sneaky big move from yesterday.
Listen, I love the Evan Ingram move. If anybody knows about Doug Peterson and who he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, that was when Zach Ertz was absolutely terrorizing secondaries in the NFC East. And Evan Ingram is a guy who was drafted extremely early, a guy who had a ton of talent coming out of Ole Miss. And we've seen some of those things on the field for the New York Giants. This is a place where he can now make that potential into success, and we can see Evan Ingram flourish.
Jaguars were busy yesterday. Graziano, give me a sneaky big move.
Well, the Chiefs signing Justin Reed to play safety, and that's not why it's sneaky big. It's sneaky big because it means Tyrann Mathieu will not be back with the Chiefs in all likelihood, and this is a player that's a big name on the free agent market and should be able to find a spot with a contender. He could be seen as the missing piece in terms of a veteran in the secondary for one of the contending teams, so watch out to see where he goes next.
Yeah, he's been such an important piece there. Jeff Saturday, give me a sneaky big move from yesterday.
I'm going to go Christian Kirk. Not sneaky big because this was the big news. Everybody thought he got overpaid and all those things. I'm going to say it's sneaky in this way. Every other receiver who's never had 1,000 yards is celebrating like nobody's business today. They got an opportunity, a chance to get paid too. Listen, when you think about Kirk, he has made the most of his opportunities. He averaged almost 10 yards a catch. He is a down-the-field guy who catches it in contested. So you think about Doug Peterson again. He likes those throws for Trevor Lawrence. Might be contested. He'll go up and get it.
I like it. Mike T, give me a sneaky big move.
Cowboys losing Cedric Wilson to the Dolphins for a number of reasons, Green. First of all, from the Dolphins standpoint, you're really trying to help Tua here. You have Jalen Waddle, Devontae Parker. You're bringing in an underrated receiver in Cedric Wilson, a sixth-round pick who has 8 career touchdowns, great route runner. But now the Cowboys lose both Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, and so what does that mean? I was seeing stories yesterday, Mike T, help me with this, because you know, you were a general manager in the league and dealt with them, that the Cowboys are basically telling their own free agents, go out there, get offers, bring them back, and we'll negotiate that way. Is that unusual?
It's very unusual from a standpoint is what you're saying is we're the Dallas Cowboys, and Randy Gregory and Cedric Wilson, amongst others, go out there, see what's in the market, and come back. Sometimes it works out. Maybe they keep Randy Gregory, but they lost Amari Cooper to the Browns. They would have cut him. But now they lost Cedric Wilson, a player they wanted to keep, a good receiver.
And so what are you hearing, Graziano, as far as the Cowboys of it all here, is they have a lot of business they need to take care of here, and it feels like it has started out with something of an exodus.
Well, they did get a big piece of it done yesterday with a new contract for DeMarcus Lawrence that keeps him in Dallas. They were afraid they could lose him and Randy Gregory, having to cut Lawrence and lose Gregory to free agency. Now, with the rework deal for DeMarcus Lawrence, they're still in play to bring back Randy Gregory and keep that edge rush intact. So they're working on that. They're working on bringing back a couple of key pieces in their secondary. Yes, they liked Cedric Wilson, but they look at Cedric Wilson and see him as a guy that, you know, for the money Miami spent, you know, we can probably get somebody similar or maybe somebody we like a little bit better. So they have CeeDee Lamb, who they drafted in the first round 2 years ago. He's supposed to be at number one. They just re-signed Michael Gallup. You know, they're tinkering, but the big piece, I think, is Gregory, and then Dan Quinn wants to keep that secondary together.
Well, there were a bunch of receivers in this year's draft, so if they're looking for a receiver, they'll be able to get one. Jeff Saturday, when we get to the end of this week, are we going to say the Cowboys have gotten better or gotten worse?
Yeah, they don't sign Gregory, they've gotten worse. And I agree 100% with what Dan just said. When you talk about Randy Gregory, I understand Lawrence getting done, which, again, is a big piece. But Randy Gregory, if people look at sacks all the time and think, oh, man, he gets six sacks. Is he this guy? This guy, he is a difference maker. He's a closer. And we saw how important that was last at the end of last season, right in the playoffs, when guys can get home, put pressure. It's not always about sacks. It's about making the quarterback move off his mark, make pull down, check down, do those type of things. Randy Gregory is a force. They do not want to lose this guy. If they lose him, they've gotten worse as a football team.
Why do you think, RC? Aaron Rodgers is still in Green Bay. Tom Brady is back in Tampa. Cowboys are thinking championship thoughts. Are they going in the northern direction or a southern direction?
You know, I think they're going, they're right now, they're kind of level, right? Because what Jeff is saying is absolutely correct. This defense was a defense that ascended last season from who they were with Mike Nolan, and Randy Gregory was a huge part of that. We've always known that if Randy Gregory can stay clean, if Randy Gregory can control his life off of the field, he is a difference maker. You see what Micah Parsons was able to do. Now you go get another defensive player in the draft. You add a corner on the back end, and this is a defense that's not only a team that could turn the ball over, but we've seen them at times shut teams down. But Randy Gregory is a huge part of that. And when we're talking about wide receivers and losing Cedric Wilson, trading Amari Cooper, right now teams are respawning wide receivers. It's like playing a video game. You lose a guy and another guy just pops back up because of the way that college football is played now. So you don't want to spend your money on that position when you have a Michael Gallup, when you have a CeeDee Lamb. But defensively, this team has to keep their key pieces and add some other pieces. And so I think what Dan was saying was absolutely correct. They understand the moves they want to make. Now, by moving some money around with extending DeMarcus Lawrence, you can go get a guy like Randy Gregory and keep some of the secondary guys, which allows this team to be good. And when you pay a quarterback $140 million, you don't feel like you got to go on a spending spree and make it rain to make sure he has the skill players to make him good. He needs to make players better offensively.
Well, you make an interesting point. And Mike T, that's the first thing you said to me this morning. A wide receiver is about to become the new running back real quick.
Yeah, I wouldn't have used the verb RC did, but when you think about resource allocation, because all these wide receivers are coming out, if we're Dallas Greeny, let's try to put the money in the defensive line, DeMarcus Lawrence, hopefully Randy Gregory. Let Amari Cooper go for $20 million, and with the 24th pick, there'll be plenty of wide receivers to pick from.
Okay, and I'm going to leave that there for the moment. We have a lot more football coming. I still have to find out from Jeff Saturday his thoughts on the departure of Carson Wentz from Indianapolis and all the rest of that. But up next, it was a very big night in the NBA. All right, get my man Jay Williams in here from ESPN Radio. We need to look at what happened, Jay, to the Lakers and LeBron last night. For the second consecutive night, they were out of a game before it even began.
So many games this season, Greeny. The Lakers have been playing from a major deficit in the first quarter. How you start the game matters for a team in the precarious situation that the Lakers are in right now.
Yeah, look at the frustration you'll see here from LeBron. They were losing this game 19-2, and it really never got much better. Take a look. Here's another sequence. They're going to lose it or go on the other way.
Greeny, bad teams have bad habits. Why are there only two yellow jerseys getting back on defense? This is a major, major issue.
And in the fourth quarter here, you're going to see, so the game has long since been decided here, but LeBron is still in there, and he scored 30 on the night, but watch this. He gets what I think is probably a bad call here, but one way or another, is not. You see the frustration from him.
Yeah, I mean, this is the issue for the Lakers, right? How many games do you need to fight back in the third or fourth quarters? And look, they scored 12 points in the first quarter. 12 points in the first quarter.
They are 2-8 since the All-Star break. The only two games they've won, LeBron James scored 56 and 50 points. They're currently ninth in the West. And so there will be some people who will say, Jay Will, well, when they get Anthony Davis back and they're able to put together this big three, maybe they can still do something. What do you think they should do?
Greeny, when a team shows you who they are, you have to believe them. Now, I had a really good friend text me, well, when LeBron James scores 50 points, they win games. And I say to him, oh, Oh, I'm sorry. Now we're asking our 37-year-old superstar to score 50 points on a sore knee to have my team fight for a 9 or a 10 seed. By the way, the Pelicans are one game behind them, yeah. And they finished this, they have their next 7 out of 8 games are on the road. Like, for me, I don't understand why LeBron James is playing 40 minutes a night. Like, this team has showed no fight, no determination. LeBron is frustrated. You're going to bring AD back, who has a history of being injured off an ankle injury, and expect him to be the difference maker and try to play him, what, 35, 40 minutes a night?
Let me ask you this very quickly. When a team goes down 19-2, when a team in consecutive games is down 20 at the end of the first quarter, I get that they're not particularly good, but there's bad and then there's that. That sounds like a team that's not even really fighting anymore.
This is a team that's already checked out. And I think that's why you're seeing the frustration in LeBron James' face, right? There's not a sense of urgency. And it doesn't permeate across the team through all the players, even the way they defend. I mean, a lot of Ole drives. Like, yeah. Just go ahead, go on by. So my thing is, if you minimize LeBron James' minutes, you think about AD more long-term, let Russell, let some of your younger players play. Don't fight for it. And I understand that it's not going to happen. But, Greeny, this is also a problem for me, because I think with leadership for LeBron James, if there's actually somebody internally that said, LeBron, let's sit down. Let's think about where we're going to be next year. I can't afford to play you 40 minutes per night for us to fight for a 9 or 10 seed.
No,
I can't do it.
It is a circumstance I think most people can't believe the Lakers find themselves in. Meantime, on the other end of the Western Conference spectrum, the Warriors taking on the Wizards last night. It's Steph Curry's 34th birthday. And look what he got as a present. He got Draymond Green back in the lineup.
Talk about the quarterback for the Golden State Warriors. Just makes life so easy. You know why? Basketball IQ. It's something that people don't look at, but once again, he keeps it simple, and that's what you love about Draymond.
And look at them working the ball around. This is their trademark, right? With him back in the lineup, that offense just looks like it flows better.
When's the last time you've seen Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry on the same floor together, Greeny? Think about that.
It's been a very long time, right? The finals of a couple of years ago.
Look at the pass. Even Klay Thompson is like, what? Psh, good look.
He's feeling good. Draymond is feeling good. And they go on to the second half, and there's more of the same in this game against the Wizards. Curry doing his dance.
Look, when he gets going offensively, I know he's had some shooting woes this year, but there's no doubt he is an absolute wizard with the ball. And this is one of the reasons why this team is a favorite to win the Western Conference. When he gets going with Klay Thompson, with the passing ability of Draymond Green, this team is the team to beat in the Western Conference.
Steph Curry goes for 47 points on his 34th birthday. And then after the game, Draymond Green making predictions. Listen to this.
Obviously, the 2 seed will be great, but we're not chasing it. We're going to make sure we do everything we can to stay healthy coming down the stretch. Not going to make any bonehead decisions trying to chase the 2 seed. Whether we're 2 seed or 3 seed, we're going to win a championship. So, don't really matter.
Did you just calling that right now to finish off the post-game interview?
Yeah, I called it months ago.
Oh, you know who's at home watching that?
Yeah.
CP3. CP3, the Phoenix Suns, a team that's been playing the best basketball the entire year. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a rivalry to pay attention to. Same with Ja Morant. But I love the confidence. And this is why you love Draymond Green and his leadership. Yeah, this team has struggled a little bit. They hit a bump in the road. Every team does. But it's about how you finish, Greeny, and them being healthy, finding their rhythm offensively, that's a problem for
me. Look, let me just ask you the question directly. When Draymond Green got hurt, the Warriors were the best team in the NBA. They had the best record. Then since that time, they've been .500, and the Suns have put distance between themselves and everybody else. With a healthy Draymond Green, who's the best team in the West?
The Golden State Warriors.
Better than the Suns?
Yes.
You take them in a 7-game series, Western Conference Finals
against
the Suns.
Yes. My question with Golden State was, how serious was the back injury for Draymond Green? I was really curious about that. Now, we'll see durability-wise if he can sustain playing at a high level or if he has any hiccups. Mm-hmm. But how they manage that back injury will determine whether the Golden State Warriors can win a world championship or not.
Going to be fascinating.
Yes,
so we got the Warriors up near the top and the Lakers down at the bottom. And this guy's got it back on the radio. Thank you, Jay Will.
My man.
In the meantime, let me make sure you're aware we got a great one for you tomorrow night. Great doubleheader, I should say. Mavs and Nets, 7:30 Eastern to begin. Then we go to San Francisco, West Coast primetime. These are two really good teams, Celtics and Warriors. It's going to be fun. We'll start your night with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern, right here on ESPN. Back to the NFL, we will go next. Carson Wentz back in the division where it all began. Where does he rank among the quarterbacks in the NFC East? This might surprise you next.
watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by WebEx. Tip-off is coming. Download the app now.
And don't forget to fill out your brackets with the ESPN Tournament Challenge. More than 7 million, almost 7.5, have been created. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your men's and women's brackets. Here's Rebecca Lobo to get you set for the women.
Need some help filling out your women's tournament bracket? Start by crossing off the 14, 15, and 16 seeds. In tournament history, those teams are a combined 1 and 323 in the first round. Ouch. 11 seeds, however, they won't hurt your bracket. Over the last three tournaments, 11 seeds are 5 and 7 in the first round, with three of them advancing to the Sweet 16. You'll want to get the chalk out for the Final Four, though. One seeds have won 30 of 39 women's national titles, including 9 straight. And no team worse than a 3 seed has ever won it all. So to recap, the numbers 14, 15, and 16 are to be avoided. 11 seeds are your friend, and 1 seeds are your best friends. Got it? Great. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app now and get in the game.
ESPN Tournament Challenge brackets are now open, so download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. Fill out both your men's and women's brackets. The men's bracket closes Thursday noon Eastern. The women's closes Friday 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Enjoy. Meanwhile, last week was quite the wild ride as far as quarterback news, but I need to go back to one move in particular, and that was the Colts' decision to trade Carson Wentz to Washington after just the one season in Indy. And the reason primarily I want to go back to it is because we have Jeff Saturday back from Iceland. He was there when this deal got made, but no one represents the Colts on this program quite like Jeff does. Jeff, you had suggested you thought this was coming, the end of Wentz after just one year in India. Let me just give you the floor here. What was your reaction to the way that went down?
Yeah, not unexpected, right? When you think about Carson Wentz, as good as his numbers look, in the biggest moments in games, he didn't make enough plays to help your team win, and that's why you brought him there. And I think, you know, if you compare him to the year before, was he a little bit better? Absolutely. But if you compare him to Phillip Rivers in the year before, who was an aging quarterback, he wasn't nearly as good. He doesn't play in rhythm. He's not on time. So what does that mean? He incurs more sacks and more late-type heroics where the plays just break down and fail. And so from Carson Wentz's perspective, you know, could he be better in Washington? Absolutely. But for the Colts, I think it was a must for them to move on from him, understanding if he doesn't play in rhythm, the Colts aren't going to win. That's Frank Reich's offensive system. That's what he expected. And for whatever reason, he couldn't get Carson to play within that system. So, again, to summarize it, big moments in games, he didn't make enough plays to help the Colts advance. And I think that the death, you know, or the nail in the coffin was obviously the Jaguars and the Raiders at the end of last season when in two huge games he didn't perform well at all.
All right, so RC, you're going to be mad at me for the question I'm about to ask you, but we did this on my radio show the other day, and it's sort of an interesting exercise. He goes to the NFC East. He's the quarterback in Washington. Dak Prescott is the quarterback in Dallas. Jalen Hurts right now is the quarterback in Philly, and Daniel Jones right now is the quarterback of the Giants. Where does Wentz rank among the NFC East starting quarterbacks?
This is so hard, man, because so many of those guys yes. aren't guys I want quarterbacking my team. I think you put Carson Wentz is probably on the same level as a guy like Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Jalen Hurts played while Carson Wentz was still in Philadelphia, so it seems that that team made that choice. But he's definitely, to me at least, better than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is the guy that turns the football over whenever he steps on the field, a guy who's never kind of lived up to that sixth overall pick. And also, too, man, it's hard to forget what Carson Wentz was at his best. And at his best, Carson Wentz is a guy that I think would be above Dak Prescott. Now, we haven't seen that since 2017. And so Carson Wentz is fluctuating in that second, third, fourth spot. I think the problem is he can be any of those guys any week. He can come out yes. and play extremely well and be the second best quarterback in the NFC East. He can also come out and play the way he played against the Jacksonville Jaguars or down the stretch against the Las Vegas Raiders and be beneath Daniel Jones. And I think that's the huge problems that the Washington Commanders has incurred by now trading for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, you give him 4 weeks and he probably would be first, second, third, and fourth yes. over the course of that span of time. Mike T,
right.
let's all agree. Dak would be first. Take him out of this conversation. How are you going to rank the other three right now if you're picking them for your team?
Probably Jalen Hurts, maybe Daniel Jones and then Carson Wentz. I just
no
don't
way,
think
Mike.
There's no way you can say it's Carson Wentz because the guy that believed in him the most, and they gave up a first-round pick,
yeah,
they just let him walk out the door for, you know, 30 cents on the dollar. So to me, it's Dak Prescott, massive question mark, and then you could check up the other three.
I couldn't see. Who yelled no way, Mike? Was it RC or Jeff? RC.
Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
Bro,
Daniel
not
Jones.
Daniel Jones. Like, not like Daniel Jalen Jones. Hurts? Jalen Hurts, yes. Don't do that.
No, I would take for one game right now, I would take Jalen Hurts next because he's probably going to make plays with his feet more than anything else. But the other two guys just have other question marks.
Quickly, Saturday, where does Wentz rank?
Oh, he's three on my list. I'm with RC. I'm putting him above Daniel Jones. I'm putting Hurts above him. Obviously, Dak at the top. But the worst part is, as a Colts fan, I don't want him to go to Washington and be good. Man, that's just going to hurt my heart. So I'm hoping he drops down.
And Graziano, who's feverishly working on a story that we will have for you coming up off the top of the hour. We may have some very important NFL news. But how about it, though? The NFC East, that's your stomping grounds.
I would rather have Hurts right now than Wentz. Wentz has accomplished more, but Hurts took his job, and we've seen enough of the bad of Wentz to believe that's actually who he is.
Yeah.
If I had to pick right now, I'd take Hurts over
him. He took his job and then took that team to the playoffs.
That's correct.
This year, albeit in the seventh seed.
Yep.
All right, we'll pause on that. We have some big news that I think is going to be coming right down the pike here. Meanwhile, we also have the Steelers. This was big news. They go from Big Ben to Rich Mitch. How Trubisky could thrive in the Steel City. That's ahead. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.